Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words, episode 102, which is episode 100, part 3, I guess, right? I mean, I'm just lucky that I have this forum. I'm lucky that I get to talk to so many incredible people, large and small, in this industry. I'm lucky that Emily Burke actually is currently editing something else as I'm talking. And we've had two episodes where we just spoke about other amazing people that have been on the show. And the last person we spoke about was episode 29, which was Curtis Douglas. And he's an amazing producer, writer, and we co-manage a duo together that maybe by the time this episode airs, it'll be announced. But if not, then y'all don't know. So we're going to give some more people shout outs that have been on the show, and we'll see. Like, maybe we're going to do another episode of shout outs, but then I think we're going to cap at 4 on it. So thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. I'm so happy with the show. I've met some great people, and I've gotten to know some people that I knew beforehand a lot better. And we're going to talk about some interesting characters in all facets of the industry. And we're actually going to start the episode by talking about a friend and an incredible attorney named Eric German. So that'll definitely be the prologue kicker. And that was episode 32. So I guess we're venturing into the 30s, just like I am. I'm 37. Emily is 21. So she just... I'm almost venturing out of the 30s, which is fucking nuts. Anyway, Emily, thank you so much for multitasking and editing while I do this. You're going to give us both your undivided as soon as we start episode 102, which is episode 100, part 3. And you could tune in to Waldman's Words every single Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, rerunning every Sunday morning at 5 a.m. bright and early Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. You can go on the podcast app on iTunes and download and subscribe. Every single episode is free. You can go on adobe.com and stream every single episode. It is free. And I guess one thing I can say about the first 100 episodes of this show is that I get a lot of messages from people saying, wow, I learned a lot, or thank you for doing this. And I couldn't have this forum if it wasn't for Brian Goldberg, my homie, and Adobe. And I definitely couldn't have this forum if, you know, people like you guys who write didn't write. So I'm honestly booked out until late November 2019, and that is all because of the people who listen and the people that share it. So thank you for listening. Please keep sharing it. Please keep spreading the word about this show. Please keep spreading the Waldman's Words about this show. And enjoy these songs, enjoy these ads, and Emily and I will be right back.
Hello, welcome to episode 102.
Nice to meet you. You're here.
I know. I wasn't in the intro. I was busy.
You were doing some works.
Yes. I'm always doing work. That is my life. I'm currently doing work right now, too.
It's awesome. You're the best.
Thank you. I try to be.
You succeed. I was trying to do your voice with enthusiasm. You're the best. All right. So let's talk about someone else who's the best. Who did I just give a shout out to?
Eric German.
Eric German's awesome. Eric German is uber passionate. Eric German is an attorney who actually teaches and talks to people and gives a shit. Eric German works in the heavy music space and also works in the EDM pop space. He is a very, very successful and prominent attorney. I mean, I'll just name one band, Asking Alexandria, who is arguably one of the biggest hard rock bands in the world. Mm-hmm. He works with them and just so many other bands, too many to mention. And he definitely did not have to drive to North Hollywood to do this show, nor does he ever have to, you know, take my calls or meet with me. And he does. And I really enjoy his company and just wish him the best. And also, I don't know if you guys have heard of a band called Bad Wolves, but he's pretty monumental with that too. And Zombie was literally number one. So care to comment on the greatness that is Eric German, Miss Burke?
Eric German is a lawyer, and I commend any lawyers because the law sucks.
Did Robert Burke give you that speech verbatim?
Yes.
Robert Burke's her father. I like to talk about Robert Burke on this show at least once.
So, you know, good on you for doing it, because I have a law minor and I want to die.
Well, please don't die. And what's crazy is I actually did a fallacy. Eric German was episode number 42 of Walden's Words, not 32. So it's pretty awesome. I mean, I've known him since, I'd say, like about a year before I started the show, but he was definitely someone I wanted to get in, and he did it. And so shout out to the wonderful husband, father, attorney, Eric German. This show is going to be extremely positive. I think there's enough negativity in the world, and we're just going to talk about the accolades of more people that we love on episode 102, which is episode 100, part 3. So the next guest is actually the frontman of a band I really fucking love named Silverstein. His name is Shane Told, but we wanted to make the centerpiece of this show, well, the show that he was on specifically, about his podcast. And we end up talking about Metallica a lot because Metallica's fucking awesome, but he has an incredible podcast called Lead Singer Syndrome, where, I mean, you name it, any singer in, I guess, the hard rock or alternative metal, screamo, whatever word you want to use to describe a genre world, he's had them on the show, and it's awesome. It's a great show, and it's a lead singer in a band that's still active and still doing well, and he talks to people all across the industry, and I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast. He has awesome guests on there. I mean, I could name some of my favorite episodes. I like the Cole Becker Swimmers episode, because I like swimmers.
Damn right you do. You like Emily's Army.
I
wonder why.
Oh, I wonder why. Well, they don't exist anymore, which is sad, but now they're like swimmers. And so that was a really good episode, and I thought that was I mean, he knew what he was doing because he has his own podcast, so I thought it was a great episode. It flowed really well.
I mean, as you know, working in this industry, some musicians and some people behind the scenes are super awkward and not the most personable, and having them on a show where they're talking for like 40 to 50 minutes like this one might be pulling teeth, but I can tell you without a shred of lie that I did not pull my teeth once during that entire episode where I interviewed a lead singer.
Oh my God.
And speaking of lead singers, Mike Herrera from MXPX, who also, just like Shane, has his own show. And I can tell you, like, I do love Silverstein, I do, but Silverstein was not pivotal to my high school / college experience like MXPX is. And I'm a Jew, an agnostic Jew. And, you know, they started as, I guess, one of the premier Christian punk bands. But, you know, The Ever Passing Moment, I think, is a perfect album. And Mike is another extremely personable lead singer. He's charismatic, he's smart, and I thought that that was a really good interview.
Yeah, that was I remember that one as well, because he called in and it was good, and I follow him on Instagram now.
Look at that.
Like, yeah, most of the people I follow on Instagram I've met through the show.
I mean, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It works out. I mean, hashtag networking.
Hell yeah. So, hi, Mike, I like your Instagram pics.
Hi, Mike, I like your Instagram, and I like your show, and I love the punk rock show, to quote yourself, with MXPX. So thank you so much for your time there. And also, shout out to Goldfinger. You play Goldfinger sometimes, and that was another pivotal band for me growing up. So I guess the next guest that we had, I mean, we're doing a bunch rapid fire this time. I think we're going to say a little bit less about each guest than we have in episode 100 and episode 101, which was episode 100 part D. But we had Stephen Horowitz, who, I mean, I'll just say one cool thing. His brother played in the band Tally Hall, who I went to school in Michigan, and Tally Hall's fucking legendary band, should be way bigger than they were. But Stephen is an extremely talented writer. He actually writes for Billboard. But I met Stephen on a flight. We were sitting next to each other, and oftentimes I don't have extended dialogues with people I sit on airplanes with, or even sometimes more than a head nod or a hello. But I talked to him the whole flight. We had a few drinks and we hung out a few times in LA. And this dude is an incredible writer and just really, really knowledgeable guy. So, I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than Billboard as far as music publications. So thank you so much for making the trek up here to do the show.
And he was more in, like, the hip-hop world, which is, like, something that we rarely have on here as well.
It's true.
He's interviewed a lot of rappers, like Azealia Banks. I think he did Nicki Minaj. He told us a story about Mariah Carey.
Yeah, that's actually what I was just about to say.
Everything.
That is everything. And, I mean, he writes about the biggest musicians in the world, on the planet. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than Mariah Carey. So shout out to Stephen Horowitz for slumming it with Scott and Emily. I really appreciate that. And episode 48 was really special to me because I had a former bandmate, and actually the reason why Emily and I met, Corey Rutschland. Well, Corey wasn't the reason. Corey was one quarter of the reason why we met. I was actually one quarter of the reason, but I was in a band called Greenlight Theory with Corey, and I interviewed him. He was the lead singer of the band. He played rhythm guitar. I sang backups and played lead guitar. Drew played drums and Kyle played bass. And Kyle is actually Corey's brother, and he sang backups as well. And it was cool because, you know, it's definitely difficult to be objective about yourself, but it's definitely a lot easier to do so when you're a little bit further removed from it. So we were done with the band at that point when he did the interview for at least a year or so. I mean, the band literally inspired Emily to just drop something.
Yeah,
but
I got so overwhelmed.
I know, Corey does that to everyone. But I thought that this was a special interview, and obviously he's my homie, so.
Yeah. Well, I had interviewed Corey before.
Whoa.
So I guess I beat you to it.
Way to one-up me. Thanks so much, Emily. No problem. Appreciate that.
So it was actually my second time interviewing Corey.
Well, what's kind of perfect is guess who the next person I'm going to talk about is?
Who?
I had a wonderful young lady named Emily Burke on episode 52 of this show. And I would love it if Emily Burke would tell us about the interview with Emily Burke.
I thought it was good.
Good. I mean, a good from Emily is like a perfect from someone else.
Yeah, honestly. So I think, you know, I've co-hosted a lot of the episodes of the show, and I feel like people learn a lot about me just kind of like by off comments I make every once in a while.
Proxy.
Yeah. And this was the one that was like, oh, here's like everything you ever needed to know. Obviously, I've grown since then because I was like a year ago almost now.
Was it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think it aired in October.
I mean, that makes sense because it was episode 52 and this is episode 102.
Oh my God.
Isn't that nuts?
Whoa.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, I know I give you shout outs a lot and it's because I want to, but you're amazing. You're young, you're hungry, you care, you're a good person, you're smart. And I would not want another person to be my assistant, be my co-manager with 18th and Addison, which were not on that show at the time. In fact, you probably didn't know that they existed. Yep. And to be the co-host slash editor of the show on the planet, you can literally put me in front of every human being, and I would say you.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me right now.
It means a Scott to you. Yay. So our next guest, I guess speaking of Emily used to work at Epitaph Records in the publicity department, and we happen to have the head of A&R on our show, Chris Voitel. So the floor is yours, Emily. I like Chris a lot.
I like Chris a lot, too. When I worked at Epitaph, we obviously didn't work in the same department. And A&R people are, it's not that they're rare to be seen in the office, but a lot of their job is, you know, going out and being a people person and
finding bands,
finding bands, listening to music. And, you know, I think ever since that episode aired, Chris had signed a lot more people to the label. So that was like a very early episode. A lot more has come since then.
I think he had just, like, I mean, maybe not necessarily just started, but it started maybe a few months before. Like, it was pretty recent to that position.
Yeah. And now, like, all these awesome bands are at Epitaph. So you have Chris Foytel to thank for that. Now you know the name of the dude. But he was always really nice, and it was good to have him on the show, too. Just because I've seen him in the office, and we've had conversations here and there, and then to kind of see him outside of it was really nice. He's a cool dude.
He was actually one of the first people in the industry that I met. When I was in the City Drive, we were showcasing for a number of labels, and we showcased for Epic for an A&R person named Pete Jaberga, and Chris was either an assistant or a young A&R at the time, but he was there too. And I guess that, I mean, that was, I think, spring 2004, less than a year after I moved here. And we kept in, you know, touch to some degree, not too much, like what I knew when he went to Atlantic and to Fearless. And now, I mean, no disrespect to any other labels, but Epitaph Records changed my life, and it's my favorite label on the planet. So I'm just stoked that Chris made the time to come here. And if you look at the ads on Facebook, it's a picture of Chris being interviewed by me. So fun fact.
I took that pic.
Damn right you did. So I guess another really great episode that I truly enjoyed was Ben Farber. Ben, at the time, I believe he was at Pandora. Before that, he was at a company called Total Assault. And that's when I met him. It was a PR company. I actually met him at a Pandora party. And now, I mean, this is really new news, but now he works at Warner Brothers. And Ben is just a really, really intense, passionate, and chill. Like, he's a combination of intense and chill, which is kind of cool because I'm just a combination of intense and intense. And Ben is one of my pop punk peers. Like, we definitely have tastes that coalesce there. And, you know, he's just a good person. He grew up in the Bay Area, and every time I see him, I want to hug him. So, and actually, Ben, shout out to this. When we first started, we had some technical difficulties. So Ben was, I believe, the first or the second person to come back and do an episode because the first one got fucked. So I apologize again for that, but I'm not sorry I had you on. Care to comment, Emily?
Yeah. I am usually the one that sets up the episodes in the morning, so I don't know who fucked up Ben's episode.
I mean, the shout out was not to out you as the fuck up. I mean, it happens. I mean, you could blame the technology gods, but I enjoyed that episode. In fact, when people ask me, like, which ones I should tune into, that's one of the ones I pick because we have, I think, really good chemistry. So, Ben, thank you so very much, and I hope to hug you soon. And I guess a really cool guest that we had literally right after, which was episode 60, was Alex Bemis. Alex is an extremely talented person. I mean, he's a great graphic designer, photographer, does a lot of stuff behind the scenes for a lot of bands, but he got to play main stage this year with an Epitaph band, This Wild Life, and he played bass, and we got to hang out a few times at Warped, and it was just really cool seeing a dude that, like, was on my show and who I've had several Indian food meals with, and then play the main stage at the very last Warped Tour with a band that is not your typical Warped Tour band. And so they definitely stood out, and he's just a good guy. He cares and has really good taste.
Alex Bemis, I'm just going to say, like, what I see from their social media, because I go on and I follow, like, all these people afterwards, but I follow him on Twitter, and honestly, just what a talented dude. He has so much stuff that he does, and he does all of it so well that it's like almost amazing.
It's actually not almost amazing. It is amazing because like there's the word multi-talented, and maybe he's like multi-talented.
Yeah, because like, he does the photography and everything. He also like plays with this wildlife, and like he just does so much, and all of it is really good. And you're just like, how are you doing this?
And I ask you to repeatedly teach me how to post an Instagram story. So that's basically the difference between me and Alex. So shout out to Alex. Shout out to Indian Food. And shout out to This Wild Life as well. So thank you. We're going to wrap up this segment shortly and then go into part two of part three, if that makes sense. But I'm going to talk to you about Jesse Grushak, who I've literally known his entire life. He grew up in my hometown. I grew up in Lido, well, the adjacent hometown. He grew up in Long Beach, and his sister, Sydney, shout out to Sydney, was best friends with my sister, Emily, not Emily Burke, even though Ivan thinks we're brother and sister. Shout out to Ivan and Fearless. We are not. We're not related at all, but we like each other. But Emily Waldman's best friend growing up was Sydney Grushak, and they're still really tight. I mean, Sydney was a bridesmaid at my sister's wedding, and Jesse is Sydney's younger brother, and the sky's the limit for that kid. He's doing some really, really, really cool things behind the scenes in the crypto world. I don't know if you know much about Ujo Music, but hopefully you will soon, because I'm just so proud. I literally just went on Google and typed his name, and he's searchable. He's in several videos. He speaks at several conferences, and there's even one of like a cool headshot of him. So I've literally known this kid, and he's a kid to me, but he's in his mid to late 20s now. And I went to his office in Brooklyn, and it's just so cool to see people from my hometown, which often there are not many success stories. He's one of them. So shout out to Ujo Music. Shout out to Jesse Grushak. Emily, care to say anything briefly?
Bye.
Bye. Well, I appreciate that. I guess I think we have time to talk about one more person and then take a short break.
Oh, so, never mind. Hi, welcome back.
Hello, welcome back to Waldman's Words. All right. So I think we might actually be able to finish it on this. We might. I don't know. I don't want to rush, but episode number 71, we had R. Wayne Martin on the show. And holy shit, if you want to learn something, listen to that one.
Yeah. First off, what a name.
What he a goes by Wayne, but yeah, but R. Wayne, I mean, it's so distinguished. So what a name. He's a loving husband, a loving father, and that dude knows so much. So if you want, I guess, a masterclass in what goes on behind the scenes in music, you should go to his website. You should also listen to this episode. I was honored that he took the time to do this show. And, you know, I've gotten to know him a lot better recently. And I definitely look at him as a mentor. And I don't use that word too frequently. But I'm just honored that he wanted to do the show. If you want to read what he has to say in his philosophy section, just go to martinartistmanagement.com. And his social media is, you know, he makes me feel like a conservative because he's so liberal, but I love that because I'm liberal too. And he's just a good dude who knows a lot. Now, do you want to wrap up segment one of the show?
I'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to y'all soon. Enjoy these commercials. Enjoy these songs. We spoke about, just to give you an idea during this segment, Eric German, Shane Told, Mike Herrera, Stephen Horowitz, Corey Rutschland, Emily Burke, Chris Voitel, Ben Farber, Alex Bemis, Jesse Grushak, and R. Wayne Martin, which is 11 people. So we're definitely on the marks to highlight everyone.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So thank you. Welcome back to Waldman's Words, episode 100, part 3, episode 102. We've spoken about 11 guests, one of which I'm staring at, Emily Burke.
Hi.
And we're going to get right into it with Steph Mirsky, who, I mean, if you We're at Warped Tour this summer, last summer, or a bunch of other summers. Thanks, Steph, because Steph did more work than you will ever know. Steph has been touring for quite some time, worked at Hopeless, and I know that Warped Tour is over. I'm sure you'll hear about something that the Forfini team is up to.
It's not Forfini anymore.
Oh, my God. That's right.
They changed the name.
You corrected me, but I'm stoked to be corrected. What is it called? Doesn't it have Lyman's last name in it?
Yeah, I think it's just called the Lyman Company or something.
I'm looking this up and learning about
it. Lyman Productions.
Hang on. I mean, we might as well learn about this on the air. But wait, what were you going to say? Sorry?
Well, I was going to say Forfini or Lyman Company now. They're
Kevin staff. Lyman Group.
Kevin Lyman Group. That's what it is.
That's what it is. And Kevin, shout out to you again. Yes. We talked about you on one of the compilation episodes, but Kevin did this show.
But, their staff is really small. If people actually look at, the people that it takes to put on, obviously a lot of people, but, the main group, it's a really small group. That's put on, a small
tight-knit group
of people. Yeah. And, Steph is one of those people, and she works so hard every year, and I'm glad that she was on this show, especially pre-Warped Tour.
And also, I just want to say that Stringer had the Stringer band that I manage and that Emily does a lot of assistant work with. Right. And another shout out to Mike Cubillos. Stringer was extremely lucky to play two dates of Warped. We will definitely give another person who facilitated one date a shout out on this episode. But Steph, Kevin, everyone involved with the former Forfini and the current Kevin Lyman Group, and everyone affiliated with Warped Tour, which will probably forever go down in history as my favorite tour of all time. Thank you so much, Steph Mirsky, for coming in and doing this. And also, just as a side note, when Steph and Kevin were interviewed by Fish on Gone Fishkin recently, Steph even gave Waldman's Words a shout out on it. So it's all coming together.
Everything's colliding. Shout out to Fish.
Shout out to Fish. Shout out to everyone at Adobe. And we even gave Fish a shout out on another one. So up next, I just saw the cutest picture of this man's child, one-year-old daughter. But Jonathan Wilson is a booking agent at TKO. And I guess the story of how he got on the show is a little bit more different. It was more, we didn't know each other at all. I mean, we had a few Facebook conversations, and then I was just like, you should be on the show. And he came in, and now I consider him a friend. He's a good guy, a great agent, and a hardcore Bayside fan.
How to Make Friends 101 by Scott Wallman. Have your own show.
Thanks. So they just use me for my radio show?
First off, figure it out. Get your own show.
I guess that's the only way to make friends in LA is to have a podcast.
Second, invite people onto that show.
Yeah.
Third.
And also third, repeat steps one and two.
Yes.
But I also just want to give a shout out to our waitress at that Divey Diner in Tarzana. Jonathan, you know who I'm talking about, the one who didn't recognize Dave Grohl.
First of all, you, Tarzana.
Oh, I know. Woodland Hills and Tarzana probably have a massive rivalry. That's really stupid.
There's no rivalry. Oh, Tarzana's just gross.
I will go on record and say I prefer Tarzana. Anyway, Jonathan Wilson, you're awesome. You work hard. You care about your bands. And you lived in Michigan, so just got to say, fuck yeah and go blue. So this was, I guess, I mean, yes, the Kevin Lyman episode was definitely a fanboy moment, but I would say, I mean, we do interview some musicians and some producers and, I mean, just every facet, but I would say my biggest fanboy moment was when Matt Wallace came in to do episode 79. And, I mean, most people would probably know Matt for Maroon 5's Songs About Jane, which is a diamond-selling record, and I'm just letting you guys know that'll never happen again. Maybe in streams, but, I mean, yeah, it'll probably be in streams, but selling 10 million. I mean, good luck selling 10,000 now. It's crazy. So that he's well known for, and he's also really well known for Faith No More. And those are incredible projects. But Matt was stoked that I talked about Ludo and Ayahuasca. And I just want you to know, everyone listening, that Ludo is one of the best bands ever. And I often talk to my friends and I guess on social media about how I think Super Drag is the most underrated band of all time. And I believe that, but Ludo is probably in the top five. Check out Ludo, and Matt did their both of their major label records, and Matt's just a nice guy, and he's been doing this as a career for a long time, and he deserves all the accolades in the world.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it better than that. I mean, Matt Wallace, I feel, you know, you mentioned Ludo and all those bands, and I'm not aware of them. And I feel like I remember when I was editing that episode, like how happy he got when you mentioned Ludo, and you're like, and he was like super shocked that you did that in the first place, because I know I wouldn't have mentioned anything other than
Maroon 5,
because
which was mentioned, and it's a great album, yeah. But
and it's like one of those albums that, you know, in my little lifespan has kind of been around forever. Like, I remember listening to that in, like, 2005, and, like, the songs would always be on the radio, and I still hear them today. And, like, so that has kind of just transcended throughout my entire life, even though I wouldn't even consider myself the biggest Maroon 5 fan. It's just, like...
It's so massive. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big Skrillex fan, but, I mean, that's... He's
Skrillex.
Started, well, I'm just... I know it's a transition, but it's, like... You can't deny its influence.
Yeah.
And Maroon 5, when I first moved to LA, I think This Love was like the biggest song in the world.
Yeah.
In the world.
She Will Be Loved was like a big one. I remember that music video very well. Do you remember those channels? And like you go to the
I love that you're holding an imaginary phone as you say that.
You go to the very end in like the early 2000s. Hi, kids. you go to the in like the thousands channels, and it would be like those music channels that they would just like play music videos over and over.
Well, that they do it like shoe stores now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except you could get it on your cable. But
cable.
I remember that the She Will Be Loved music video in the early 2000s every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like my biggest memory from that.
Well,
album.
I can just say... from listening to that album, because I was a hardcore Kara's Flowers fan in high school, and Kara's Flowers eventually added a member and morphed into Maroon 5. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard Songs About Jane, and I think what's crazy is a reviewer said something similar, probably more eloquently, but I was just like, this sounds like a rock band playing R&B. And just the way it was produced and sounds, and I mean, I think that album had like five hit singles.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Harder to Breathe was the first one. So shout out to both the songs that we talked about that say love in it. And shout out to Harder to Breathe, which is kind of a product of love. So I guess a cool guest to talk about would be Jake Posner, who's a fellow Long Islander. And I guess speaking of regions, he manages Arizona, who
is blowing
just played
up.
Madison Square Garden. Yeah. But yeah, like ginormous.
Did you see that picture?
Yes.
With the marquee. There's a picture that I believe Jake posted of a marquee outside.
Well, Madison we follow Square the same Garden. People because of the show.
And it's a Arizona like poster up on the big screen at Madison Square Garden, which like as someone who now manages artists and works within the realm, like I couldn't even imagine. Like that's
give us a few
amazing.
Years. Give us a few years. But no, but Jake is a nice guy. And I guess very similarly to Jonathan Wilson, I didn't really know him. I mean, I still don't even I definitely know Jonathan Wilson better than I know Jake. But he came in. He was really articulate, well-spoken, very smart, and super young and hungry. And speaking of young and hungry, we had a badass Mexican meal right after. But Arizona is a really cool band, especially just from a songwriting perspective, just – really cool songs that are different and now direct support for Panic at the Disco. So it's definitely been a good year for Jake and the Arizona camp. So shout out to them. And I guess I want to give someone who is also young and hungry a shout out. Episode 84 had Trenton Warsham on the show. And aside from being the biggest Under Oath fan I've ever met, Trenton is an extremely passionate guy about all kinds of music, a lot of music that combine, you know, melody and screaming, but he's a great writer, and he is proof of concept that you do not need to live in LA, New York, or Nashville to pursue a career in music. And granted, it's a lot easier in cities like the ones I mentioned.
And a lot more fun.
What's more, oh yeah, well I'm not going to talk shit on his location, but yeah, no, I mean,
will.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, obviously Trent, you know that LA, Nashville, and New York are better. But besides the point, Trenton's a nice guy. He works hard. He cares about his bands, and he's just a really talented writer. So I just want to give Trenton a shout out for that, and just thank you for writing about some of the bands that I work with, and thank you for doing my show about a year after we talked about scheduling it, because I'm fucking nuts. So
true.
And also a shout out to SoundLink magazine. So now we're going to go into the person that I kind of alluded to, Leah Urbano, who I would say her and R. Wayne Martin, I would put them in the mentor category, because I really think that everyone needs a mentor. And one of the nicest things Emily Burke ever said about me is that I was to her, and it still makes me happy. And she's nodding. You can't see it. She's shaking her head. Can you confirm that you are nodding?
Confirmed.
Thank you.
Yes.
But Leah is so fucking awesome. She works with a lot of, you know, heavier bands, but she's also breaking into hip hop. Shout out to her. Shout out to Crimson Management, and changed Stringer's lives, because she put Stringer on what we thought was going to be, you know, the smallest stage, but it's, I mean, any stage at Warped is good in my book. And if anyone complains that they're on any stage at Warped or any festivals, like, you should shut the fuck up, and any band would kill for that spot.
True.
But she put them on the Crimson Management stage, which ended up being the amphitheater stage. Bigger stage than the main stages. I mean, obviously, like, Stringer isn't as big as bands like Real Big Fish or The Main or 303 or Simple Plan that were on the main stage, but they had a pretty sizable crowd due to the fact that it was the amphitheater stage, and I got to play a song with them, and I got to tell you, like, that stage literally had Keith Urban playing it, like, a few days later. Niall Horan, I know you're a big 1D fan.
Oh my god, they played the same stage as Niall?
Yep, I was saving that for you. And
I didn't know that.
So I just want you to know that Leah is fucking awesome, not just for that, but because she cares. She's a good person, she's sweet, and any band that, you know, has her as a manager is lucky as fuck, which is the technical term. So I guess an episode that I will talk about now was the Hannah Benabid Jazz Valencia episode, oh, and then I will let
talk about
you do that.
A whirlwind of an episode.
Your turn. You sum this one up, because that one was fucking hilarious.
First of all, I love when we have women on the show that work in the music industry, because you know what? I'm a girl that works in the music industry.
You're a woman.
I am a woman.
You are. I mean, 3 years ago, you could have died in a war. Yeah. And now you can legally drink.
But if someone ever calls me ma'am, like, I'm going to die on the inside.
How you doing, ma'am?
Ew. But, you know, it's still, this is still a very male-populated industry, as much as I like to think that it's not, but it is. And Jazz Valencia is one of those people that really just went hard into it.
You fell hard?
Yeah. Making it about a man.
No. That's actually about a girl.
That's true. That song. But, you know, she created her own agency, the JV agency, that works with amazing artists. And she runs her shit. She knows what she's doing, and she knows what she's talking about.
She's a badass motherfucker.
Yeah. And she had an assistant who is basically my equivalent.
And this was probably the craziest thing to happen pre-show, in the room, and on the show.
Yeah. She was apparently a Lido Beach fan.
Who fell hard.
Back in the day.
And who came in the room kind of hard, like, yeah, I don't know what's up. But, yeah, like, the beauty of Facebooks and paper trails is that, listen to the show. You could check it out. But
on iTunes now.
On iTunes now, on the Adobe, you know, adobe.com and the website. But Hannah will be a guest on this show. She's smart, she's young, and she's diligent, and she works hard, and I've never had an assistant in the room during a show, and she sat on the stool I'm staring at. And Jazz, your pictures on Instagram look amazing now, your traveling pictures. But yeah, in general, you're doing some great stuff, and I appreciated that you're on the show. And I mean, we had to actually reschedule her once, which I always feel bad when that happens. But I think we definitely made up for it with a really solid episode. So we have a few more. We're actually only going to talk about three more people. And then we're done with actually all of this until, you know, we do episode 200. Yeah. But Tyler Smith from the band Danger Kids was episode 95. And Tyler is an extremely accomplished producer, writer, and just, I mean, I'm very, very tentative about using words, you know, like good or trustworthy or nice in this industry. I just am. I've been let down a lot by people who I thought were one of the three. But I think that the rest of my life, I will use the word nice to describe Tyler Smith.
Yeah, he was just like a really cool dude that you could talk to. And, you know, whenever we have people come into, like, the actual studio, a lot of the times I've never met them in person or, you know, Scott's only met them one time for coffee or it's just been, like, a Facebook exchange. But just the coolest dude on and off air. And
really quick-witted.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that episode, and I know that I'm not from the Midwest, but I lived there for 4 years in Ann Arbor, so I love talking about my time there, and he lived in Ohio, and I don't know, I think that that region is responsible for a lot of the heart of this country, and Tyler definitely has heart, he cares, he seems like an extremely loving husband, he's just a cool dude, and hopefully I'll see him again soon, so thank you so much, Tyler, for coming on the show, and speaking of show, we had Joe on the show. Whoa. Joe Buscema.
It's so weird that we're like getting to these people because I feel like these just happened, you know?
They actually just did
like
happen.
They just happened. Like,
well, that's episode 97, which literally aired a week ago today. I mean, a week ago yesterday, but not when this airs. It'll be like a month. But Joe is another, I mean, I guess the theme for a lot of this show, I mean, yes, there are a few people that are older and more accomplished, and still older people can be hungry too. But Joe is a young, hungry manager who moved here recently from Canada. But I mean, I feel that if there's like a penultimate Adobe band, it's Set It Off.
100%.
100%, right?
For years too. I remember when we first started the show and I was like going through all the Adobe stuff. Like Set It Off was...
Oh, totally.
Always there. Always on Gone Fishkin. Like always like...
Everything. They play them on the radio. I mean... And rightfully so. I mean, their songs kind of scream the branding of this station. But Joe manages them. And Joe manages a number of other bands. And one of which, unfortunately, just had a lot of gear stolen. So I don't know if by the time this episode airs, if their GoFundMe will be up. But a really, really good band named Cherry Pools. Mm-hmm. I just want to give them a shout out. Hopefully things will get better for them. But Joe manages them, he manages Lake Pacific, and he's just, he works hard, and he gives a shit.
Well, also another Adobe sweetheart, The Dangerous Summer.
Oh my god, that's another one.
How did you forget?
I fuck up.
Are you even an Adobe host?
I don't know. Are you even an Adobe co-host by that argument?
I don't know. I think they're starting to recognize me here.
Wait, who are you?
What?
All right, so we're going to wrap this up with... talking about what's crazy is when this episode airs, episode 99 would have aired, but it hasn't aired yet. But the last person we're going to talk about is actually the very first time we had a two-parter episode. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is immediately after we do the recap, which is three parts. But Casey Quigley works for the Living the Dream Foundation, and I had the pleasure of meeting Casey at the Detroit Date of Warp Tour when she was with a young girl and the band As It Is. And I just got to say that I've said this before and I'll say it again. Nothing that any of us do is as important as what she does. She makes dreams come true for young people who are really suffering, sometimes with terminal illnesses. And these people get to live like a rock star, like get to meet the bands, sometimes standing side stage of the bands. And Emily and I talk about this a lot because, you know, we get to go side stage to a lot of shows and we get to, you know, go into shows. And I try to never lose sight of how badass that is and how many people would literally do anything for it. And for some of these people who are doing this, like, they might be weeks or months from death. Like, it's no fucking joke. And I'm still upset that no one had interviewed Casey before this, but I'm happy that Emily and I were the first. And it was an extremely emotional interview. Part one, definitely more so than part two. But I just want to give a special shout out to Living the Dream Foundation, to Casey Quigley, and to anyone who does nice things for people that truly need it. So I guess to wrap up this episode, I would like Emily to go on an extended monologue.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure co-hosting a lot of the episodes of this show. So thank you for that, Scott.
And editing all of them.
And the posters and the upload and...
Please tell me everything, every little thing.
All right, well, first I email myself the MP3.
Okay. Okay. Please stop doing that.
But no, it's been great. It's been great getting to meet a lot of these people. And it's been really interesting. And I hope that everyone, you know, doing this show as well finds it interesting. And I like that they keep in sight that there's probably someone out there that's listening to this that wants to do what they do. And I know that this is an industry where you mentioned before that they might lose sight about how... One, hard it might be to even break in or figure out how to do.
Never hurts to ask.
Yeah. Or like, it might just be one of those things where, you know, they don't know where to start. They want to do it, and, you know, they might forget that what they do is, like, super special. Not everyone gets to work in an industry like this. Not everyone is made to work in an industry like this.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And so thank you to every guest that has come on and shared their story and gave their advice to people out there. Because I know as a young girl who was just young starting woman. Out in the industry, well, I'm going back a few years. I would have appreciated listening to this show and listening to these people talk about what they do.
I love that you gave our show a shout out at the end. That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And
all about the promo.
Fuck yeah. I
mean, at Emily Burke.
Branding at Emily Burke. Well, I mean, one person in this room keeps trying to brand you. But anyway, the thing is that, you know, we're so happy that episode 100, episode 101, which is episode 100 part 2, and episode 102, which is this one, which is episode 100 part 3, and the final one in the trilogy, so we can name it like A New Hope, like Empire Hunger Strikes Games. Back. I was talking about Star Wars, and you just...
There's a lot more episodes in Star Wars than three.
Right, but the first three. But that's true. Fine. Then we should call it Back to the Future, Back to the Future Part 2, and Back mm-hmm. to the Future Part 3.
Oh, my God. Actually, though.
Or The Godfather.
Because we're going back in time.
That's actually... we might have just figured out some branding. So the thing is that here's to the next 98 episodes of this show in whatever format it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, Emily and I are really stoked that people want to be interviewed, that people tune in. And you can do so on...
Oh, you can do so on iDobe every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, or it will be out on iTunes for free. And you can listen
free
to
is
that.
Not a dirty four-letter word.
No. But you could always listen back to these episodes on iTunes. They will all be there. And also on adobe.com/shows/Waldman's words. So it just made it very easy for you.
And I guess I will do an adjective to describe episodes 1 through 102, which is this one. Grateful. What about you?
A long, strange trip it's been.
Way to give Robert Burke a shout out. One of these days we'll have Burke on the air. But thank you to each and every guest we gave a shout out to across these three episodes. We couldn't talk about every single one, but I wanted to highlight some cool blips and some specifics. And the next episode that airs will be an interview.
Ooh.
But I enjoy talking to Emily Burke publicly.
Thanks.
So here's to the next 98. And I guess one more thing, it's that a lot of people ask me, you know, like, how do you become an artist manager? Or how do you join a band? Or how do you have a radio show or a podcast or whatever things that I do or have done? And the first step is to do it. Literally, it's like, do it.
Hey, kids, just do it.
I mean, to quote Colin Kaepernick, no, hey, kids, like, just do it. Like, yeah. Just, you could, it's not going to hurt you to try to learn an instrument. It's not going to hurt you to find a band in your scene to try to help in some form. And if you have a smartphone, you can have a podcast.
The best piece of advice I've ever gotten in my entire life.
We're going to end on this note. So this is my last word is,
if you do nothing, nothing will happen.